Take your Bibles, open Exodus chapter 20. I'm going to warn you that this is a very painful sermon, because this is the sermon, the sixth commandment, which is, thou shalt not murder. There are many people through our lives in the church that have been involved in some way or another in the death of another individual. And I'm sure there are people in this church. There's more than you ever realize. Rob and I have very good friends, like friends over the last 20, 30 years, who have, whether on purpose or accidentally or in drunkenness, taken another person's life. So I will talk more about the forgiveness, but just so you know, this is very painful for some people, and it's painful for me. It says, thou shalt not, in verse 13, you shall not murder. There are three exceptions in the Bible. One is for a just war. Second one is capital punishment. And the third one is for self-defense. But there are many, many ways that we can murder that fall under this commandment. And we're going to look at 10 of them, 10 ways that we're all guilty of murder, probably. As I've been going through the Ten Commandments, I hope you realize that I've been trying to make clear to you that we have broken every one of God's commandments, every one of them. When you leave here this morning, you're going to realize you broke this commandment in one way or another. Romans, the Apostle Paul writes, there is no one righteous, not even one. All have turned away. They have become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. And then he says, their feet are swift to shed blood. There's a murder. Murder is in our sinful nature. It dwells deep within us. Given the right circumstances, we can be really bad. So first is premeditated murder. So turn to Exodus chapter 21. The commandments in Exodus 20. Then in 21, he starts to explain the Ten Commandments. Verse 12. Anyone who strikes a man and kills him shall surely be put to death. However, if he does not do it intentionally, but God lets it happen, he is to flee to a place I will designate. And you want to flee to Jesus. So murder has been growing in the United States. You're probably aware of this because it was a political thing. The inner cities are really dangerous. Tens of thousands of Americans are murdered by guns, knives, poison, you name it, in the country. We are the most, civilized nation in the world, and yet murder is just growing at a rampant pace. There are 30 cities in the United States that have the top murder rates. Two of them are in Pennsylvania. What cities do you think those are? Philadelphia. It wasn't Pittsburgh. Harrisburg, yeah. So, I don't know. It's just sad what's happening. Number two, kidnapping is a form of murder. So look at verse 16. Anyone who kidnaps another and either sells him or still has him when he is caught, must be put to death. Because in all kidnapping, there's an implication that if you don't pay up, what am I going to do to the person that I kidnap? I'm going to kill them. Or if you abduct someone. This, by the way, is Kayla. This is the woman that was abducted, kidnapped by the realtor down in South Carolina and held like an animal for months. And, you know, she was fortunate. But you understand that she's been killed emotionally in her soul, in her mind. She's probably never going to be the same person. The penalty in the Old Testament for kidnapping, which is like murder, was death. Slavery would come under this. Every so often someone says to me, what's the Bible say about slavery? Well, slavery was when people went to Africa or wherever and kidnapped free people, kidnapped people against their will, and then took them and sold them. No born-again Christian should ever be approving of slavery. Abortion. I know this is one of those hot topics, but I got to tell you what the word says. I can't change it. Verse 22. If men who are fighting hit a, what kind of woman? Pregnant. Now, so let's back up. Let's test you out. Let's say we're fighting and I accidentally break the legs of a woman or a man. What would be the penalty for me? If I broke someone's legs, what's the penalty? My legs get broken. What if I poked out her eyes like the Three Stooges? What would be the penalty? My eyes. Okay. But what if a woman's pregnant? What about the baby? So if men who are fighting hit a pregnant woman and she gives birth prematurely, but there is no serious injury. Every commentary, this is talking about the baby. We already know what happens to an adult if you hurt them. This is the baby. So the baby's delivered prematurely, but there's no serious injury to the baby. The offender must be fined whatever the woman's husband demands and the court allows. But if there is serious injury to the baby, you are to take life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise. Because God considered a baby an individual, a person. So abortion, let me just... Since Roe versus Wade in the 70s, there's been 58 million abortions in the United States. Donald Trump, elect president Donald Trump made a mistake, and hopefully someone has straightened them out. He made a comment early on in the election, something like, well, people that have abortions should be punished. Women that have abortions should be punished or whatever. Someone straightened them out. Let me explain why that's a problem. So let me see. There's been 58 million abortions. Let's put repeats in. That's 50 million women that have had abortions. There's just under 300 million people in the United States. So that means one out of six people have had an abortion in the United States. We wouldn't have jails big enough to hold 1/6 of the population. But wait a second. Studies show that behind all the women are usually a boyfriend or a husband encouraging that abortion. So you got 50 million women, and now we'll put 50 million husbands and boyfriends. Now you have 100 million who are guilty of abortion. So 100 million out of 300 million people, how many is that now? What percentage is that? That's 1/3 of our country. Wait a second, I'm not done yet. Studies show that when a woman has an abortion, she also talks to at least four other people who encourage her. It might be her college classmates. It might be her neighbors. It might be the best friend at work who also encourage her to have an abortion. So let's say for every woman, four friends say she should have the abortion. So there's 50 million women times four friends. How many people is that? 200 million people. Okay. Now, wait a second. Now we got to add to that all the government and the politicians and voting for political parties that approve of abortion and the medical field that does abortion and the drug companies and all that are involved in abortion. It turns out that out of 300 million people in the United States, 280 million are guilty in one way or another about having an abortion and promoting it and supporting it. So would we be able to arrest 280 million people in the country? Is that possible? That's why abortion is, it's gone way beyond an individual sin. It's a national sin. It's a national sin. And I think God deals, I'm sure there are penalties. When we get to heaven, I'm sure God, and of course the United States isn't as bad as other countries, but I'm sure God brings discipline upon our nation as a whole, because all of us have our hands in it some way or another, including myself. I won't tell you how, but believe me, I am guilty. The owner of a dangerous animal. So verse 28. If a bull gores a man or a woman to death, the bull must be stoned to death, and its meat must not be eaten. But the owner of the bull will not be held responsible. If, however, The bull has had the habit of goring, and the owner has been warned but has not kept it penned up, and it kills a man or woman, the bull must be stoned, and the owner also must be put to death. So let's talk about dogs for a second. 5 million people every year get bit by a dog. I took a survey in the second service. I couldn't believe it. How many of you have been bit by a dog? Raise your hand. Yeah, it's like everyone. How many have not been bit by a dog? Okay, your time's coming. The rest of us have already had it. So a lot of people get bit by a dog every year. Now, fortunately, only 20 to 30 of these bites result in death. It is almost always a male dog, and they most often will attack people smaller than themselves. So over 50% of attacks are on babies and small children. But according to the Old Testament, like let's say you raise a pit bull to bite people and to be rough and tough, and it can be any kind of dog, and that pit bull is in the habit of biting people and then actually kills a child, in the Old Testament, you would be guilty of murder for not controlling your animal, even though you've been warned. Number 5 is self-defense. Chapter 22, verse 2. If a thief is caught breaking in and is struck so that he dies, the defender is not guilty of bloodshed. But if it happens after sunrise, he is guilty of bloodshed. So if someone is breaking into your home at night, you don't know what are his motives, and you kill that person breaking into your house, it's justifiable, it's self-defense, you will not be held responsible. I think of myself. I think I put my life on the line when I go at nighttime visiting you people in your church. That's scary. Will you come? All right. Racism, Leviticus chapter 19. It's the next book in the Old Testament, Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19. Racism, the root of racism is usually pride. Leviticus 19, verse 17. It says, do not what? Do not hate your brother. Racism is the hatred of your brother. It's a, you know, I hate blacks. I hate Hispanics. I hate whites. Whatever it is, that's racism. And you need to understand as Christians, right, that when the Apostle John went to heaven, he saw all the believers that are up in heaven, and he says, I see people from every nation, every tribe, every language. So I because John saw people from every nation, I'm assuming that we don't all look white Caucasian in heaven. That if you're black on earth, you'll be black in heaven. And if you're brown on earth, you'll be brown in heaven. If you're white on earth, and it'll be beautiful, and we won't have all this prejudice and racial stuff going on. It's the hatred of another person. Number 6. Oh, by the way, here's a map, and I don't know how clear you can see. It's not super clear, unfortunately. But this is the rate of hate crimes in every state. The worst state is a state I come from, New Jersey, which is surprising to me. There's only 5 states, you may not be able to tell on the map, there's only 5 states that the hate crime is almost zero. And that is Pennsylvania, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, and New Mexico. So I'm praising, Pennsylvania is surrounded by hate states, but Pennsylvania itself, for whatever reason, we are a state that hate crime is almost zip. So I thought, hey, that's nice to hear about that. 7, endangering others. So look at verse 16 of Leviticus 19. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Does anyone follow that? Don't do anything that will endanger other people. Because that's like murder. It may not kill them, but you're putting them in danger and they could die. Everyone with me? How about texting while you're driving? Would this verse apply to that? Don't do anything that would endanger someone else. Everyone's quiet. How about texting while you're driving? You're driving with your knees and you're texting on your phone. Are you endangering others? Yes. So don't do it. This makes you guilty of murder because you are literally, you know, it's like firing a gun randomly. And of course you hope that you don't have an accident, but in fact, more people, I think it's about 50-50 now, of people that are being killed by drunk drivers and people being killed by people texting and being distracted in their driving. So that's growing. Endangering others. So I use this example of asbestos. They used to make asbestos in companies, manufacturers, and it turns out that the owners of the asbestos companies in the United States did get information that told them that if you're exposed to asbestos and you breathe it in, it causes three different types of lung diseases, and they call it, mesothelioma. If they would come up with a different name, I think they'd be better. But a mess of your thelioma. Okay. It turns out that the head of all the manufacturing companies of asbestos knew that asbestos would kill you, that the asbestos would go in the lungs, but like little time bombs, you could go 20, 30 years before it would kill you, that it would do you in. And the owners of the asbestos, this all came out about 12 years ago, they all decided not to tell their workers who were working with the asbestos and not to tell the public because it would take 20 to 30 years before people would realize and that they would make millions of dollars and then when it started coming out, they would get all their money and take off for Costa Rica, Brazil, Spain, whatever, okay? What do you think about that? So now, 15,000 Americans die every year from asbestos. So what do you think about those owners that, and in the court trials, it literally came out, they knew it, and they just said, hey, no one will know for 20 to 30 years. What would you say to those owners? The companies didn't even know, all the lower people. All the companies were bankrupt by paying for all the deaths of the people, but the owners took off with all the money. What would you say? Do you like that or not? Have they broken thou shalt not murder? Even though it was 20, 30 years later? Okay. You know I'm setting you up. How about drugs? How about people that, is that endangering other people's lives for me to get you addicted to heroin? Am I endangering other people's lives? Yeah, because I'm going to destroy them. How about HIV? Ooh, that's another one that reminds me of asbestos. When you get asbestos, it's like a little time bomb. It gets in your body, but it's not going to go off right away. 20 years later, 15,000 die. HIV is another one of those things that, you know, it's a little time bomb that gets delivered to you because we're all jumping into bed with each other. So you get this little time bomb. Most of the people that have HIV don't even know they got that little time bomb. The weird thing about this time bomb is it multiplies inside you into more time bombs that then you can pass on to other people. And the time bomb actually takes a while before it blows up. Right now, every year, 2 million people get the present of a little time bomb. And 1 million, kaboom, it goes off and they die from AIDS each year, endangering the lives of others. Eighth, anger. Anger. So in verse 18, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. See, when you're angry, you want to seek revenge or you want to bear a grudge. You're mad and you're like, ugh, they are going to pay. I am mad at them. Oh, by the way, Jesus says if you do get mad at someone, let's say someone does something to you. It's really bad. Your boss, I don't know, cuts your pay. in half. You are mad. You are angry. How long are you allowed to be angry according to Jesus? I'm not sure. Is it 7 days or 70 times 7 days? I can't. How long are you allowed to remain angry at someone? Till sunset. You know, the Apostle Paul writes, in your anger do not sin, and do not remain angry after the sun goes down, or you will give the devil a foothold in your life, and this is what you will become. Okay? You will, you become a different person, and you'll do something stupid. That's why Jesus even says, he said in Matthew chapter 5, you have heard that you shall not murder, but I tell you the truth, if you're angry at a person, you've committed murder in your heart. So, oh man, right there, I know most of us have got to be guilty of anger. So you want my humorous joke? I only have one in my sermon. It's about anger is contagious. That's why the protesters, it's contagious. It can keep growing because anger is contagious. So two hunters were heading out to go hunting, and the one hunter knew a farm, a friend that owned a farm. They said, let's drive there and ask him if we can hunt on their property. So I'll pretend it's Tucker's land. Now, you have a lot of nice land for hunting. So they pull up, and the one guy says, well, I'm going to go in and talk to Tucker. I know him. You wait here by the car, and I'll go ask him if we can hunt on his property. And so he went in, and Tucker and this, oh, they're hugging, oh, wonderful. And the hunter says, do you mind if I have a friend with me? Do you mind if we hunt on your property, some deer? And Tucker says, oh, no problem at all. And then Tucker says, but could you do me a favor while you're here? I've got a mule, an old mule out in the field. He's been very special to me for 20, 30 years, right, Tucker? That old mule. And I can't put him down. He needs to be put down. Do you mind if you shoot him for me? And the hunter said, no problem. I'll do that. So the hunter's heading out to his friend, waiting at the car, and he decides to trick him, to fool him. So he's heading to his friend. He says, oh, I'm so mad that Tucker won't let us hunt on his property. I'm just so mad. You know what? I'm going to shoot something that's special to him. And he takes his gun and he shoots a mule. There. And just as he finishes shooting the mule, he hears two more shots. And he looks to his friend and he says, what are you doing? And the friend says, I'm mad too. And I just shot two of his cows. So, see, anger is contagious. So be careful. All right. Ninth. This is the unspoken thing that's never preached about in church. So look at verse 18 again. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. So the death of self. So this is the latest. This is brand new. Washington suicide in the United States has surged to the highest levels in nearly 30 years. A federal data analysis has found with increases in every age group except older adults. The rise was particularly steep for women. It was also substantial among middle-aged Americans, sending a signal of deep anguish. The overall suicide rate has rose 24% in the last couple of years. So suicide is just going up and up and up in the United States, especially among the middle class, who have been losing its... It's very closely connected to your job and finances. So I'm not surprised when I read this that Donald Trump has tapped into the middle class Americans that have that deep anguish about their life and their jobs. I think Trump has tapped into that anguish and was elected a lot before that. It is increasing dramatically. About 75% of people who take their life are drunk or on drugs when they do it. So a lot of people ask me, what do you think about drinking? I don't like drinking. Because when people drink, they do stupid stuff. And Rob and I have had lots of friends in the church that, because they were drunk, did something stupid. 500,000 Americans. I mean, let that sink in. 500,000 Americans attempt to take their lives every year. Tens of thousands are successful, but 500,000 try every year. That's how depressed so many Americans are. They're putting their hope in Trump. I'll claim to you that it's Jesus. Jesus is the only answer. It is not alcohol. It is not jobs that people can promise. To me, it's Jesus. Jesus is the key. People need the Lord. All right, 10th is soul murder. So in the book of Ezekiel chapter 3, if the Lord speaking, and this is like speaking to all believers, because Jesus in the Great Commission told all of us that we should share our faith. If I warn the wicked, saying, you are under the penalty of death, you're going to go to hell because of your sin, but you fail to deliver the warning, you don't tell them that they're going to go to hell because of their sins. They will die in their sins. They're going to go to hell. And I will hold you responsible for their deaths. But if you do warn them, and they refuse to repent and keep on sinning, they will die in their sins. But you will have saved yourself because you obeyed me. So there's a responsibility for all of us to warn our family and friends that because of sin, they are going to hell. I'm almost guilty of every one of these 10 items, by the way. But when I was planting my first church in West Newton, this is like 30 years ago, I was young. I would go to the barber shop in West Newton, and there was a guy there that would cut my hair, the barber. And his name started with an S. And when I would sit there, and I was excited, you know, planting this new church and lots of people coming to the Lord, I would talk to him, and he was so open. I could tell, like, man, he is so interested. He's so close to the Lord. But there's other men and boys waiting to get their hair cut, so I knew I really couldn't really get into the gospel, but I could just sense he was just so open. So I would go home from the barbershop. I'd tell my wife, I've got to go visit S, because I just sense he is searching and seeking, and he just seems so hungry. But then I wouldn't do anything. I'd go back 3 months later, same thing. I'd come home. I'd tell my wife, man, I got to get, he lived right in the same town, in fact. I even knew where he lived. And this went on for a year and a half. Every 3 months, I'm coming home telling my wife, oh, I got to get there. He's so close. And then kind of forgetting about it. So a year and a half later, I went to the barber to get my hair cut. And there's a sign, barbershop closed. And so I went to the store next door and I said, what's going on? And they said, oh, didn't you hear? S took his life like a month ago. And I was like, I didn't hear. But I was devastated because I knew for a year and a half, it was like he was almost begging the way he was talking to me and seeming to be open. And I didn't take the time. I was just got too busy. I thought maybe next, you know, it wasn't a rush to me. He was young. He was only in his 40s. So I'm like, oh, we got plenty of time. I'll get to it sooner or later. Not knowing that he would take his life. So I'm guilty. That has always affected me because that was early off in my ministry that happened. Well, can God forgive? Can God forgive the breaking of this commandment? Well, I know he can forgive because I know he forgave Moses. You remember Moses killed an Egyptian. He wasn't supposed to kill that Egyptian. And he got waylaid from ministry for 40 years. And I can imagine when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, I can imagine God going, hey, take a look at number 6, Moses. I know, Lord, I did that one. Killed that Egyptian. Or King David. Talk about premeditated murder. David planned the murder of his girlfriend's husband, right? In fact, David so realized he was guilty, he actually believed God is going to drop me dead. I think David was spared because he was just so broken, so repentful, that God in his mercy, he did face consequences. But because I think God saw that David's heart was so broken that he spared him. Here's a third individual in the book of Acts. This is a scene, someone drew this. This is a scene of Stephen being martyred, being stoned to death. And the Bible tells us that while they were stoning Stephen, the first Christian to die for the faith, that the people that were stoning laid their cloaks at the feet of a young man named who? Saul, who later becomes who? The Apostle Paul, who was standing there giving approval of what was going on. And of course, we know that from here, he went out to actually persecute and kill Christians himself. So here's the Apostle Paul, who is killing people, innocent people. And God used, God forgave. So many, many years later, the Apostle Paul writes in the Bible, and this has helped me out. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save who? Sinners, of whom I am the worst. The Apostle Paul felt he was the worst sinner than anyone else because he literally had his hand in killing Christians. I am the worst sinner. He says, but for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. The Apostle Paul was like, I know that God can save anyone. Because if God is able to save me, who is the worst of sinners, then he can surely save anyone else that is out there. That verse has spoken to my heart as well. The Apostle Paul may have been the worst sinner 2,000 years ago, but I feel like I am the worst sinner of today. See, I'm glad you don't know a whole lot about my previous life before coming to the Lord. Well, even afterwards. But what's good about, I think it's one of the reasons God calls to ministry. Often if you've been guilty of taking someone else's life, God calls you to serve him in a special way. So it's like I've been given a second chance to serve, and I don't want to mess it up. And when people come to me and say, oh, Pastor, you don't know my mother-in-law. She can never get saved. She's so horrible. I go, oh, yeah, she can. Because God saved me, and I'm the worst. Your mother-in-law isn't as bad as the way I am. So if God could reach me, he can reach your mother-in-law. He can reach your neighbor. He can reach your mean boss. He can reach people of other religions, whatever, because I am the worst of sinners. So I just want to let you know there is forgiveness in Jesus. And when you give your heart to Jesus, he covers our sin with his blood. That God the Father doesn't see our sins. Christ goes to the cross. That red cross must be his blood. And he pays for our sin in our place. So the penalty for murder is what? Death. He died for Joe Toomey. And he died for each of you. Our sins nailed him there. He was pierced for our transgressions, the things we did wrong. It's amazing. No matter how bad of a sinner you are, if you give your heart to Jesus, they're under the blood. He forgives them. They don't come up again. And you can live an amazing life. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. I think because I've broken this commandment, I feel this super obligation to minister life to others, to share the love of God. If you don't confess, you will deal with a guilty conscience the rest of your life. It will drive you insane. You will experience hell in your conscience before you ever get to hell. But when you come to Jesus and ask him to forgive you, he cleanses you and he gives you the ability to live life, to serve him. And it's freeing, believe me. A guilty conscience is a horrible, horrible thing to live with. Come to Jesus. So if there's anyone here this morning that you've never given your heart to Jesus, I'm going to pray. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'll pray out loud. You pray silently. It's the prayer that someone led me in long ago when I gave my heart to Jesus. And you can experience the forgiveness of your sins because Christ paid for them literally for you. So I'll pray out loud. You pray silently. Lord Jesus, I have a guilty conscience. I have broken your commandments. I'm not worthy to be in heaven. But Jesus, please forgive me. Thank you for dying on the cross in my place. Jesus, cover my sins with your blood. I open the door of my heart, Jesus. Please come into my life. I want you as my Savior, and I want to live for you as my Lord. Thank you that I get to go to heaven. With heads bowed, eyes closed, I want to pray a blessing over those of you that prayed that prayer along with me. So if you prayed that prayer, no one's looking, everyone's praying. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to just slip up your hand, and after I see you, put it down. Say, Pastor, I gave my heart to the Lord. God bless you in the back, and I see two in the back there. Anyone else? Just slip your hand up, and then after I see you, you can put it down. God bless you, sister. God bless you, sister. Anyone else? There's like three. I don't want to miss anyone. Anyone else? If you pray that with me, just slip your hand up and then put it down after I see you. So no one's... Father, I pray for these three individuals. May they sense the Lord Jesus coming into their heart. May your spirit testify to them that they now belong to you, that their sins are under the blood, not to allow Satan to keep bringing it up and throwing it in their face, that they are now sons and daughters of the living God. May you bless them. May they be strong in their Christian faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.